It's a very simple thing that someone who doesn't even necessarily have to have a handicap or be impeded by something that you haven't done, such as a sign, can easily get $5,000 out of you.
Welcome to the Self Insurance Podcast, brought to you by CRNBC. Every week, we're interviewing industry experts, restaurant operators, and brokers to talk about the world of workers' comp self-insurance in California. My name is Kaya Stanley, and I am the CEO and board chair for CRNBC, California's only restaurant workers' comp self-insured group. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Placido Maselli from Hub International, and we're going to be talking about risk prevention. Now, Placido, you have a ton of titles. First, tell us your titles and tell us a little bit about your background.
Thanks. Yeah, I do have a number of titles. I'm an AVP Senior Risk Consultant, as well as the National Hospitality and Leisure Risk Practice Lead. What that basically means as a Senior Risk Consultant, I provide kind of that tactical implementation of policies, procedures, and then on the practice side, I help coalesce our group and provide thought, guidance, and leadership to where we think the restaurateurs and hoteliers and other event spaces will have exposures now, but also 3 to 5 years from now. It is a mouthful to say.
And you have an interesting perspective. In addition to looking at strategic risk control, you actually spent time in the restaurant industry and you spent time as a paralegal. So tell us about all of those different perspectives that you bring to the table.
So like a lot of people, you can't get the restaurants out of your blood. I kind of grew up, my mom working in restaurants, sitting at the bar and getting snacks coming to me. And then I joined the Marine Corps. And after the Marine Corps, I became a paralegal, both on the insurance and plaintiff's defense and plaintiff side. From there, it steamrolled where I started doing adjusting, which was amazing. So going to the carrier and being on that side, came from the carrier to do accident investigations with the TPA, and then started doing actually employer side, being a risk manager for almost a decade for a very large employer here in South Louisiana. From there, went back to the claim side, ran a large PNC claim shop, and now I've been with Hub since 2020. So the way I look at it is holistically. It's protecting your people, your property, and your profitability. But another big part of it is, how does this all intermingle? At the end of the day, it may just be compliance, but that can flow into your EB, your GL. So there's so many nuances. I've been the guy that sued you. I've been the carrier that's handled that lawsuit. I've been the paralegal on both sides actually doing that work. So that's how I like to approach it with my clients.
Yes, and it's important to have all those different perspectives. Let's talk a little bit about the hottest topics that are out there right now and the biggest issues that you're seeing in your practice.
So what I would say is, even though we've got this massive, everybody's talking about the minimum wage increase, that's putting a lot of pressure on employers or where they can invest their capital. But that's not really where we're going to see the compliance lawsuits. We're going to see that in a few months. Without a doubt, that's going to happen. But we've been seeing the most in ADA lawsuits and litigation. You would not believe drive-by litigation in California, Arizona, New Mexico, who have been implementing new laws. It's a very simple thing that someone who doesn't even necessarily have to have a handicap or be impeded by something that you haven't done, such as a sign, can easily get $5,000 out of you. And you're like, well, that's not a big number. $5,000 for every parking space, $5,000 for no bathroom rails. All that will add up. Now, couple that with your $20 minimum wage increase. How are you going to handle those losses on a 6 month or a 1 year aggregate basis? You're going to have to eat something up, whether it's closing stores or moving people out. So that, coupled with another new law, which is the marijuana, we all know it's legal for the most part in California, but there wasn't a way that you could penalize people who may have been smoking off the job. They'd come on the job, they'd be pop positive, they would end up having to be fired. You didn't know if they were intoxicated on a job. And normally that only comes out when there's an incident or whether they're intoxicated before they even come to work. Well, now they have protections in place. So at that moment, you think you have a loss at your work and you're doing the reasonable thing, the responsible thing, sending them to urgent care, getting them going through that positive steps of a urine analysis. Now you have to determine, wait a minute, can I actually do that? Will I impede on some kind of ADA or EEOC issue? Are they now protected by the law and I don't have any recourse? So the training on the front end with reasonable suspicion for drug and alcohol, just as much as it is to keep those bartenders from over-serving something, is now really big on the employer, because you have to be able to identify somebody truly intoxicated, because your defense, as it was before, is not there like it is now.
So what are best practices that you would advise restaurant owners to do with regard to this marijuana issue?
One, be honest with yourself, be honest with your organization. You have to, one, look at the insurer. What are their requirements? Because you do not want to go outside of that box. Two, look at your state requirements, working with your broker, a risk professional, to understand what can I do and can I not do? What are the timelines for sending somebody for a urine analysis? What are the timelines, what I would think somebody who is off use then comes on? When is your shutoff time? Because now you're going to have to create a whole new policy. You have a policy before, and now with the new regulations coming in, you have to alter that. How is that going to affect your business? If you start incorporating some of these things, are you going to have a loss in employees? So you have to start looking at business continuity, because you may not have the number of managers you had before because they don't like this new policy that you're going to implement. So that's where I would start with this. Be honest with yourself, look at your organization, then look what policies you reasonably can put in place.
Well, Cito, give me your top things that you see restaurants doing or not doing that are game changers to you, that every time you see it, you're shocked that they're not doing this thing.
It's 2024. If you do not have a workplace violence plan in place, you are doing a great disservice, not only to your organization, but those individuals that live and work in your community. You have, when people come to the restaurant industry, it's typically at a young age. They may not have a lot of other opportunities. Because of that, they also come from a subsegment where there may be more violent crime or a history of abuse, like with boyfriends and stuff. And they bring that to, or girlfriends, and they bring that to that restaurant community. I grew up in this. It's part and parcel of what you can do to protect your employees by putting this plan in place. There's been too many shootings, too many stabbings, and all it takes is that communication between an employee and an employer. But until you put that in place, you don't know the issues that are surrounding that. I think that is one of the greatest issues that we're seeing right now. Two, cyberfront. If you're not doing something to protect your cyber resiliency, then again, you're creating a disservice. And that's going back to protecting your profitability. How long can your business survive with the POS system shut down? 2 days? 3 days? All it takes, imagine you have a chain. Threat actors don't care about the $100 million anymore. That's long ago, because now you've got $500,000 or 500 threat actors coming after you just for a slice of that pie, that $10,000, which you'll probably eat and pay that $10,000 versus going to your cyber carrier, because you don't want that on your loss run. So I think those two, and we're going to continue to see that, especially with these larger chain groups, those two are something you have to tackle.
That last one, the cybersecurity, we're seeing that a lot with our restaurant owners, and it's something that is not on a lot of restaurant owners' radar. And one of the reasons that we do this podcast is because, as you know, as a restaurant operator, you're more likely to be looking at your menu or your labor or things like that. And cybersecurity is not something that people are really realizing is becoming more and more of an issue. So we should probably come back and do another podcast just on cybersecurity, because it is something that they need to pay attention to. And just like they often don't look at workers' comp until it's too late, until it's a problem, we don't want them to wait until it's too late to look at cybersecurity, because it's a real threat now and it's something that they really need to pay attention to.
Without a doubt. And the market's not going to get softer here on cyber dollars. It's going to get harder. And the issues surrounding it are just going to be with AI emerging and coming out. All those bad threat actors have more availability to get resources to compromise your systems. I mean, and you look at some of the biggest organizations out there that have been compromised, StubHub and all these other organizations. If you're a small restaurant, you will pay that and shut your restaurant down over a week period, then not pay it or go to your carrier. Property. If I know this is on a comp thing, But everything rolls into itself when we talk about train the trainer and giving these tools to your managers. That not only will protect your people, but your property is one of your biggest assets. So when we talk about emerging threats, that's how I would focus my time as an owner.
Placido, thank you so much for joining us today. This is such a hot topic. I know that we could sit here and talk about this for hours, and I would love to have you back another time to talk more about different aspects of risk prevention and loss prevention and strategic ways to look at this. And to our audience, if there are any specific topics that you would like to hear on the podcast, just give us an email at info@crmbc.com. Thank you for joining us for the Self-Insurance Podcast brought to you by CRMBC. Remember to subscribe, like, comment, and share, and join us again next week for more tips on self-insurance.